Our scripture text this morning is taken from a passage of scripture that was alluded to by Hector. Psalm 40. I'm going to read the first 8 verses of the 40th Psalm. It's on page number 878. If you want to turn to it in the Pew Bibles as I read it. I'm looking at the 40th Psalm, and as I was studying this, I was remembering a song by U2. Remember a song back a number of years ago called 40, taken from this psalm, and it's a great song, and it's a great psalm. You have a yellow bulletin insert with some sermon notes, and we're going to try and zip through this outline. Hear now the word of the Lord from Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet upon a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Many, O Lord my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you planned for us no one can recount to you. Were I to speak and tell of them, they would be too many to declare. Sacrifice and offering you do not desire, but my ears you have pierced. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, here I am, I have come. It is written about me in the scroll, I desire to do your will, O my God, the law is written in my heart. We just had a Holy Spirit moment this morning, as a matter of fact, as our scoutmaster, Kathleen Seymour, just used the exact words that I was going to do for my introduction for the sermon, as a matter of fact. I was connecting the scout law, which is a model, a goal, a paradigm, a picture for every scout from tenderfoot up through Eagle Scouts, to attain to and aspire to connect that with the fruit of the Holy Spirit. There are a number of lists in the scripture that set up a picture of what a Christian should be, and they parallel the Scout Law. And we've heard now the Boy Scout Law twice in our service, and as we think about the theme of patience in Christian character, especially in the context of our culture, which is so filled with contention and conflict. Our society is full of all kinds of conflict and anger and impatience in this world, whether it's political or any other way. Social media is filled with it. And as I think about what it means for all of us to grow up to maturity, to have a picture of what it means to become full in our reverence and faith. Boy Scout is reverent and also loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind. Patience falls right there in the middle. Patience is a defining Christian virtue. And it's based on the calm assurance that God is in control. There, our faith connects with our growing character to be more like Christ in patience and long suffering. Patience is forbearance with difficult people. It's forbearance with difficult things in our lives. How many have felt like throwing their computer out the window on occasion? Can't believe it's so slow. Anyhow. Or Patience is also forbearance with difficult circumstances as we think about that. Now, think about some lists in the Bible in which we find patience, and actually the fruit of the Holy Spirit that Kathleen read a couple minutes ago is one of those. Also, prominent in 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, patience is a fact of love. And as we head towards Valentine's Day, it's a perfect setup. As we think about Christian virtues, 1 Corinthians 13, beginning with verse 4, says, love is patient and kind, does not envy, does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, for love never fails. There's a picture of what a follower of Jesus Christ should look like as we seek to be filled with His love and to love one another. It's a good thing to practice as we build up towards next week's Valentine's Day. Chocolates and flowers are great, but being patient with one another, that goes even further. In all of our relationships, especially in our marriages, you've heard the story of Goldilocks and the Three Bears. Well, I ran into a story of a quarrelsome couple and two bears. There lived an old couple who quarreled frequently. In fact, the whole village knew about it. And when at last they ceased their quarreling, questions were asked about how it came to be. And they simply said, two bears did it. Two bears? Exclaimed a neighbor. We thought the bears caused all the trouble. Ah, said the husband, but these two new bears, which we found in the Bible, from them we have learned to love. Bear with one another's burdens and bear one another in love. Those are great references, if you can barely follow here. Anyhow, as we forbear with one another, patience, the opportunity to hang in there with one another, is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. In contrast to the works of the flesh, in Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, flowing out of love and patience. Peace is patience, a fruit, a defining fruit of the Holy Spirit that shows those who are under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Patience is a godly character trait. And here are some other lists in the Scripture. Romans 12, 9 through 16. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. And honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in trouble, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of others, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep, and be of the same mind with one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinions. Wow, there's an awful lot there just to aspire to as we think about patience right in the middle of that. Colossians 1, 9 through 12, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, with all patience, long-suffering with joy. Long-suffering or patience with joy. Giving thanks to the Father who qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of servants of light. You can also look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, 10 through 11, or Titus chapter 2, 1 and 2. But all through the scriptures, in all of the lists, we are reminded that patience is prominent and important for us to cultivate in our lives. Perhaps you weren't born patient, and perhaps your personality isn't prone to patience. By the way, today's sermon is brought to you by the letter P and the number 3. Anyhow, takes me back. Grandkids are here this weekend, so we've been watching Sesame Street. Anyhow, as we look in the scriptures, we have patience illustrated, evidence of patience modeled and illustrated in people's lives, such as Noah. Remember, Noah started building an ark when he was 486 years old. It took him 120 years to build this boat, the ark. It took patient perseverance with a difficult task. Nobody had ever built anything like this before. And it took patient persistence amid a violent and godless society, which was surely jeering and mocking Noah. Job, classic example. You've heard of the patience of Job, the patriarch of patience. Don't you love this sermon? Anyhow, just be glad you're not sitting too close to all these P's. Anyhow, Job, endurance of faith amidst trials of all kinds, all that can be imagined, yet Job never cursed God. He complained some, but he never outright rebelled and cursed God. Never lost faith amidst the trials. Kept his patience. Patience in faith. Abraham and Sarah, can you imagine waiting for the fulfillment of God's promise of a son to be born as an heir? Abraham was 100 years old and Sarah was 90 years old when that promise was fulfilled. Wow, that's patience. Moses, 40 years in training in the Egyptian royal courts, 40 years in training in the wilderness of Sinai, tending his father-in-law's flocks of sheep, and then 40 years leading a complaining congregation of the people of God up to the promised land. That's a long time to be patient, and a lot of people with whom to be patient. David, as we just read Psalm 40, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined and heard my cry. David was patient as he waited for God to fulfill his promise and the anointing of him as king. But Jesus is the preeminent example of patience illustrated in the scripture. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 2 and 3 says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. As we continue in this sermon series on patience, look for the Lord to put you in situations which will try your patience and develop your patience as we lived in a hurried and harried world. Let's be like Jesus. Don't get sucked into the acrimony of social discourtesy in the family, at work, at play, in school, in church, yes, in church, on Facebook or Twitter. Let's be patient out there. As we come to the communion table, we remember Jesus. As we come to remember Him, we remember all of His attributes. We remember how He, for the joy set before Him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, so that He might sit down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for these examples of patience as we seek to be like Jesus. Help us, by the power of Your Holy Spirit, to grow in grace, that we might indeed cultivate Christian character within us, beyond ourselves, only by the power of Your Holy Spirit. Come and be fruitful within us and among us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.